Hi everyone, welcome back, or welcome if you're new. I am so sorry. I accidentally uploaded the wrong episode. So this is actually the real episode of part four. So sorry about that. I hope you enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to Critique a Killer. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberlea, and I'm joined with my co-host, Courtney. This show is all about true crime and murder mysteries. We dive into topics that relate to both solved and unsolved murders and critique the killers, whether that's their mindset, mental health, or other circumstances surrounding their crimes. If you're listening live on the Stereo app, please note you can listen to the replay on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, and all other podcasting platforms if you miss anything. By the way, if you are listening on those platforms, don't forget to give our podcast a review, hopefully a good one with 5 stars, and even leave a comment if you wish to. Other than that, also know that we go live every week here on the Stereo app. So if you are listening anywhere else, you can get the opportunity to chime in. And we're going to do a little bit of that tonight, I believe, at the end, just for about 5 minutes. Anyone who has any questions and is listening live. Now I'm going to pass it on to my co-host, Courtney, for some brief disclaimers.
Okay. We mean no disrespect to the victim, family and friends of the victim, or anyone involved in this case. This is just information and details that we've gathered over the internet on a case that we care about and want to see justice in the end. Also, this is a true crime podcast and includes information about murders. Listener discretion is advised.
Thank you. That's so true. That is always true about true crime podcasts and videos. If you haven't listened to the previous parts of the series, it is a multi-series topic. And I would stop listening to this episode if you're listening on the replay. And I would listen to the other parts because it's really crucial that you listen to them in order. This murder is very detailed. There is a lot of details. It is unsolved. So that's sort of why we have so much interest in it, because we do want to see justice for Alexis Sharkey. But there is a lot of information. And then Courtney and I are going to go in two different perspectives. I'm going to discuss theories towards her being killed by someone other than her husband, who's been publicly pegged as her potential murderer. And then Courtney's going to discuss theories on Alexis's husband, Tom Sharkey, being the potential killer. So if you listened last week to part three, you'd know that we left off at the part where we were discussing some of the timeline before Alexis went missing. So in this episode, you're going to hear important details about the known timeline from the week before her death and lots of information that Courtney and I have gathered from all over the internet in regard to different accounts of who may have been involved and what may have happened. Some of this will be from her husband himself, friends of Alexis, and mostly posts that we've seen online on social media. So did you want to start with Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, or did you want me to talk about anything first?
No, you can go ahead and start.
Okay, well, the only thing I wanted to mention to follow up from last week was the text message that we did not mention on Thanksgiving afternoon between Alexis and Tom. I totally forgot about this, and you chime in anytime. We can go back and forth on all this stuff. Okay. But just so, is that cool?
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, Alexis and Tom had a text exchange, and this was at 12:07 on Thanksgiving afternoon. I don't know what the text said before, but I can see just a tiny bit of the end of the text message. And it looks like it says family and Dez. So I'm just putting two and two together. And I'm assuming that she's telling Tom where she's going to be that night, because this is Thanksgiving and apparently they're going to be apart. We will talk about that later. But he responds with no worries. And because she was going over with Tanya's family and Desiree.
Yeah.
And Tom responds at 12:07 p.m. with no worries. I just wanted to offer. So we don't know what he offered. Did he offer to make her dinner? Did he offer to come hang out with her? Clearly they're texting. So in my perspective, they're not home together at this point. Right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
And we do see that the red messages are on. It says red. So we know that somebody read it. And then she said, I thought about taking myself to dinner before she texted our chat and offered, but it's fine. It's just Thanksgiving. I appreciate it though.
So if you were listening last week, Tanya texted their group chat and asked if anyone wanted to come to Thanksgiving dinner because she was having one at her house with her family and anybody was allowed to come over and anyone was invited. Alexis took her up on that offer, private messaged her outside of the group, said, "I'm going to come over," and she arrived at Tanya's. So basically, this is just a conversation between Tom and Alexis, with her kind of letting him know she's going to be at dinner and it's okay that he, I guess, doesn't spend the night with her. After that, she texts him one more time. There's no response in between from Tom that we have. But then she says, "Nothing can live up to that Thanksgiving dinner in Vail, anyways. LOL." I'm assuming they had a really nice time because they were in love. They did travel a lot. They did have a lot of pictures of them on pretty nice vacations to all different places all over. And apparently they went to Vail and had Thanksgiving. So that was at 12:16 p.m. And Tom thumbs up that text message. So I thought I would just mention that because we know that she ends up at Tanya's, and that's the last place that she was actually seen by her friends, aside from going with Seb, apparently to a bar. We don't know exactly where they went. Any comments on that?
No, I think it's weird that Tom shared that screenshot. I'm curious of do you know, did he share that screenshot with his sister? I can't remember. I think it was his sister and she shared it to a Facebook page. But I also
Yeah, she
wonder
did.
if there was text after that. We don't know if there was more conversation. But I mean, it's pretty normal. It just they were checking in on each other, but it makes it even more obvious that like they were breaking up. Don't you agree?
I mean, if they weren't breaking up, they were doing something because you don't spend the holidays away unless, because I'm on the other side, unless he's working, like unless he's doing something. I know it's a holiday. It doesn't necessarily mean as an independent contractor, he's not doing something. He's not driving somewhere. He's clearly not even home. But as we know from other things that we've gathered from the news and friends coming forward, she went to Marfa with two friends around November 7th. I think it was November 8th. And while she was there, it is said that she talked about separating and getting a divorce from Tom. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah,
So her
she had told her
friends.
friend. Oh, okay, you say it. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you probably have verbatim what they said, but yeah, I know she had confessed to her friends because they said normally she had been really private about her relationship, but that was the first time she really opened up about it, and that's when she told them that they were separating, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She had told them and confided in them that he, well, sh well, the news, what we gathered was that her friends in Marfa were Devin and Lauren. And they said while she was there, she made the decision to leave him because he was texting her, quote, angry text messages the whole time. However, Courtney and I do have access to one of the messages between Alexis and Tom that occurred in Marfa. And we can both go into what happened and like what your perspective of it is, but I have the text or I have the DM, sorry, the DM. And the long and short of it is that while in Marfa, she was on sort of a work trip, but I'm doing it in quotations because they kind of said like it's a work trip, but they're also drinking and hanging out and taking photos for Monate. And it's that whole lifestyle thing. Have you ever gone on those when you were in Monate?
Have you ever gone where?
Have you ever gone on one of those like girl trips for photos, content trips for money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a big party, basically.
Yeah, just to make your life look like, you're doing something that week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that they can get content for their Instagram. So that's pretty much where she was with her two friends. They're all in Monate together. It is a multi-level marketing company. We kind of already discussed that, but from anybody new, that's what they were doing. So while on this trip, everything seems to go fine. There's story highlights that are still on, I believe, Devin's account. You can go see them. And it looks like they're having a great time. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And Tom even responds by laughing at one of the story posts. And it's basically just a story post of Lauren jumping on the bed. And Alexis is kind of joking around that they haven't even had alcohol that day because they were acting really silly. I'm sure you've done that with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Just acting silly, jumping on the bed, being funny. And Tom responded to that story. You guys know how you can do that on Instagram through DMs, but it kind of just goes to your DM. And he just said, OMG, with the crying, laughing face. And then Alexis just responded with, ha, 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 ha. We know that Alexis screenshot this DM and gave it to a friend. The reason why is because of what happens next. And you and I are going to have a differing opinion on this, but... Later on at 1:39 p.m., Tom decides to give her a little bit of an awkward, in my opinion, message. He says, quote, since you are 100% social media and not ever living in the moment, I feel it's fitting and you will embrace the social media swarm. I'm filing for divorce. You need way more than I am. And I feel inadequate to fill your expectations. You are a selfish individual, and I'm sorry I'm not the same as you. It will be okay. You will persevere. You need what is going to happen. I'll be moved out before you get home. I wish you well, and you will do great. I will always love you and only wish you the best. Keep on social media on. I don't know what that means. Keep on social media on. Your ex-husband.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah. So before I move into her response, I want to get your thoughts first because I've been doing a lot of the talking. What do you think about that? Why do you think he sent it? Why is it in a DM? Why isn't it in a text? What is going on?
To me, it just seems really threatening because I think he was controlling and feeling really, really insecure. I think he was controlling to a point because, I mean, she still went on the trip. But I think he still kind of, you know, had a leash on her when she went and did those things. Clearly, he was really bothered by it. You know, it's kind of like, to me, one of those things where she's like, oh, well, I want to go on this trip. And he doesn't want her to go. But he says, okay, that's fine. But what he really wants is her to be like, oh, no, I'd rather stay with you. But she didn't. She went on the trip. So... I just think he was feeling super insecure and left out. And to me, it's a threat. People that do that, like, oh, I'm filing for divorce and I'm going to pack my stuff. You know, it's like he wants her to beg him, like, oh, no, please don't leave me. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm taking the other side. So I have to think of this out of the lens of being who I am. And, you know, people that don't know me don't know, but I'm a YouTuber. I've been doing YouTube for 10 years. I'm on social media all the time. I spend a lot of my time on social media, but since I've been doing it a long time compared to Alexis, you know, she just started doing this. Maybe she was 3 years in to the whole quote unquote influencer thing. I'm just saying that as like, so that we understand what we're talking about. But even me, when I got fully into it back in 2015, I had just met Scott, my fiance. And I have to tell you the truth. I got very consumed with it. And even though in my mind, I'm like, I'm doing this so I can have a good life with my family and make a lot of money. And, you know, I'm doing well and I'm thriving. There was a part of me that got sucked into it so much that unfortunately I would neglect my family. And I would forget that I'm supposed to be doing this for my family, not away from my family, not spending so much time. And I've had to really, I mean, over the past 4 years, I've reined in my time and I had to balance a work-life balance. So what I feel in this moment is that Alexis is being, she is being neglectful. When her and Tom met, she wasn't doing that great. She's even admitted it all over social media. She says, you met me at my worst time and you stayed around. And a lot of people have said he built her up. He was the one making money when they first met. She was working at Twin Peaks, which is pretty much the equivalent of Hooters. You know, he was a welder. He was an independent contractor. He worked in the oil field. He was making a decent amount of money. I'm not saying that he was making an overwhelming amount, but I think comparing their age, we know he's, what, 20 years older than her. We know that he's probably at that point in a different part of life where he can accommodate her wishes. But then things started to change. And when she got that independence and started becoming her own boss and being able to travel it started to, in my opinion, take over that relationship, not to mention the things that you just said. The fact that he is feeling insecure. He's 20 years older. She's now hanging out with guys and girls who are much younger. I mean, even like 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and she's 26. So I think you're right in that he's feeling insecure. But in my perspective, I never felt that this was like a threatening message. The way that it came off to me is very truthful. Like, she's 100% social media. People have admitted she's always on her phone. And I don't know about you, but I know I'm being guilty of this. I can't stand when I'm hanging out with someone and their face is down in their phone.
Oh, it's so rude.
And I'm sure that's what was starting to happen in their relationship. So I personally feel like this is a sad message. It's, she's not living in the moment. And he uses specific words, 100%. So it has overtaken their relationship. And then he says, you're not ever living in the moment. She's not. We've seen them set up a camera on a hiking trip. Who's taking that video? A tripod. So they're not, they're like faking it. They're like faking him, her jumping in his arms. And that's not embracing the moment anymore.
Right.
So, and then it says, I feel like it's fitting. I don't know exactly what that meant, because in my opinion, why they're DMing is because, like many people, I know I do this, I text and I DM. I text and I DM. So I could be texting you, and then a minute later, I could be on Instagram, and I could be responding to you on DM. So it's kind of this disjointed communication between them. So we don't know what it means by, I feel it's fitting, and you will embrace the social media swarm. What I thought of that when I read it was that he's leaving her. It's going to make her look bad regardless, because your husband fucking left. Regardless of what she says, she's going to spin the story. You know, we've heard that this is the week. This is the week that she supposedly told her friends that he was putting hands on her and she wanted to leave him. But we have evidence that he's the one that says, I'm filing for divorce. So I don't know. I just feel like, I think his decision was valid. I think that he was, like you said, maybe threatening it, but he says, you need way more than I am. And I think that's true. I think as she started to hang out with these friends, we've learned, you know, they kind of hung out with guys who had money. They were younger guys. They were, you know, in the party scene and this and that. And I think he did think she was selfish. I did think he thought it was enough. And because he's older, and you can give me your perspective at this point, but because he was older, he didn't care about social media like that. He only did it for her.
Yeah, for sure. And I even think of like our generation compared to Alexis's, you know, like that 10 years is even different, as far as we didn't grow up with social media and whatnot, but people her age and younger, it's like such a important part of their lives. But then even Tom is 20 years older. It's just completely different. Like, your mindset and how you were raised and everything you know is completely different between the two of them. I hope that makes sense. You know?
No, it does. And I think when he's saying, like, you'll persevere, he knows how strong she is. He said it all over social media that he's been so proud of her. But that stopped a few, like, I would say the last year of their relationship, he didn't post as much on her social media, meaning he used to be on there all the time saying, like, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. You're so beautiful. And then the last year, it started to die down. I don't know why that was. After they got engaged, it seemed like things started to die down. And I think he just means, you know, and when he says, I'll be moved out by the time you get home, we know this is November 8th-ish. And he was still, quote unquote, moving out near Thanksgiving. So... Right. Apparently that didn't exactly happen, but remember, she responds to this, and I just quickly wanted to give you guys her response, because she responds with, this is because I'm posting on my story ? You know, we literally came here to be creative and take pictures. I'm on a girl's creative getaway, and you view this as a problem. What do you think about that?
I think creative getaway is an excuse to go party with your friends and drink and, you know, goof off, just because I've been there and I've done it.
Yeah. And remember, he used to be her drinking buddy. He used to go with her all over the country and they would try new bars and they would hang out. She even said one time, you know, I had to learn how to drink more because I can't keep up with my drinking buddy. We got a guy who's what? How many pounds is he? I don't even know. Like, what 250? Do you think?
250, yeah, like maybe?
250. And she's like, what? Like 130? I don't know how much she weighs. Yeah, probably 120. She's like, what, 5'9"? I don't know, 5'7"?
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's probably like 120, I'd say.
But, so he's been replaced, in my perspective.
Yeah.
And that has to feel bad. I mean, let's be honest. Like, let's look at him like a human being, because he is one. I don't want a husband or a boyfriend who's into social media. As a matter of fact, I'm engaged to someone who doesn't do social media, and that's on purpose. When I would meet people, that's my job and it's like what I do, and I don't want someone doing the same thing. I don't want them to be, you know, not living in the moment, quote unquote. And I can see that he's been replaced. So what I want everybody in the audience to realize is, like, this was just weeks before she dies.
Yeah, like what, three weeks?
Yes. And so that is, I mean, these are crucial moments in this person's life. And, you know, Courtney's on team Tom did it. I'm on team Tom didn't do it. But I just think this is very pivotal, because whether it's her idea or his idea, this was the trip that her friend said she decided to leave. Whether, you know, she decided after he decided or whatever the case may be, I just wanted to kind of paint that picture for everyone.
Right. And it's also the weekend that they said she opened up about their marriage. And it's almost like she kind of wanted to start making him look bad to make her, you know, to make it look like she's not doing anything wrong.
You know, yeah, can scared, you go into she's that?
Scared the, well, yeah, she shared the screenshots of what he said to her, that message you just read. And, you know, she had said, I believe, is that when she said he choked her out? Allegedly.
Well, he okay, so her friends, I have the article.
Okay.
It said two other friends, I don't know what they mean by that, told the Daily Beast that Sharkey had complained about physical abuse and said her husband could be, quote, controlling and manipulative in group settings. Just a side note, on Halloween, there was a party, and it has been said, and we have it in some kind of screenshot, that one of her friends was a guy, not really a friend, but like a friend of Tanya's, said that he was attending a Halloween party and some guy came up to talk to Alexis, and Tom basically like threatened him and said he was going to kick his ass. And so I don't know, like, we haven't seen it, but it's been said that he's been kind of controlling. And it said, while it's unclear if Alexis had actually filed paperwork to dissolve their marriage, friends said that her behavior had changed over the last months. She wasn't posting on social media quite as often, and she always wanted to, quote, be around her friends all the time to avoid going home. Kendra says, I know they were going through some things. She said she mentioned being separated even though they were still living in the same apartment. I actually pulled her aside 2 weeks ago, this is Kendra, to let her know I am here for her and that I know something is going on because her demeanor has changed.
Well, and also her demeanor changing could be something else. Maybe she was having an affair and she was just caught up in that. And, you know, she wanted to be around her friends because that was the only time she could text her boyfriend. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we'll get into a little bit of that, but another thing that was mentioned, I mean, you're totally right. It said that her friends had said she had a troubled relationship with her husband, whom she had just married in December, right? Wasn't it December of
19? Yeah.
Oh, it was 19. So they've been together almost a year, or just a year.
Yeah.
Her and her husband had been going through a divorce, one friend said. The decision to end her marriage came after a girl's trip to Marfa, which we just explained. That was where the trip was, where they exchanged the DMs. And it said, Alexis claimed her husband had, quote, been putting hands on her. Throughout the trip, he was allegedly sending really awful, nasty messages to her, the friend said. But one night, when she and I were talking alone, she said, quote, "He strangles me and chokes me out, and I black out and wake up on the bathroom floor every single time."
Also, there's no police reports about this, so it's all alleged. What do you think? Do you think
it is,
that?
Are you, you on that... team Tom did it?
Sorry. Yeah, but some things still are a little sketch.
I know. Some things to me, we have no proof of this. We don't have a text message. We don't have anyone saying this other than that one trip. And what's interesting about the person she told, sorry, I have to say it, is that she told the ex-girlfriend of her now sort of love interest or lust interest or the last person that saw her alive.
Right.
That we know, besides Tom, if he did, but she went out with this man, Sebastian, at midnight on Friday, right after Thanksgiving. He was at the Thanksgiving party, like you said. Maybe that's why she doesn't want to hang out with Tom.
Right. Yeah.
And a couple weeks before.
He was there, so, yeah, it makes sense. But we also, nobody has claimed to have seen her since then, not even Tom. So we really don't know who the last person that saw her was.
Right, because we do know that Sebastian and her hung out because Tanya was there. They left the apartment at Tanya's at 12:30 in the morning, went to a bar, supposedly, but they could have gone anywhere. They could have gone to Seb's house. They could have gone to a house party. They could have gone in a car and just sat around, talked about her problems. They could have made out in their car, had sex. Like, we don't know what they did that night.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, and this will go towards your theory, or, you know, the one you're taking. But I think it's interesting because we don't know where she went with Seb. And we know that a text came to her phone, right? Came to Tanya's phone from Alexis's phone at 2:30 in the morning asking Tanya, "Are you awake?" But we don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been that she wanted to stay because she was scared to go home if Tom was there. We don't know. What do you think it was for?
Well, the reason I even bring it up is because we don't know what happened after Sebastian left. So that's kind of what I'm pointing to is, like, what was it in regard to? It could have been anything. We only know that the next day when Tanya woke up at 7 a.m., she saw the text. She was sleeping. So when she texted her back and was like, "Are you okay?" How do we know who had her phone at that point? How do we even know at 2:30 in the morning if someone else didn't have her phone and just, like, somebody she knows and just said, like, "Hey," just to, like, start a timeline.
Right. Yeah, we don't know any of this. I never really thought of it that way, that even that text message at 2 in the morning could have been someone else.
It definitely could have been. Like, we have no proof. No cameras, you know, like, how do we know? It wasn't a FaceTime. It was merely a text from her phone. Anybody can do that. And so after Sebastian, we don't know. But Tanya says the text that came in at 7-something, it was like 11 o'clock when I think it was like 10, when Alexis's phone texted back Tanya. And she said, "Oh, I was just trying to see if I could, you know, get my stuff. But here's what I don't get. It was like 2 crock pots and some chairs." Why at 2:30 in the morning when you just got back from the bar with a guy that you're kind of like hanging out with, are you concerned about your crock pots and your gosh darn chairs? Like,
no, you would not be at all. You'd want to get home and crash because you'd be exhausted or tipsy. Yeah, it doesn't make sense why she would need to get that stuff right then.
And then Tanya says, "Oh, well, go ahead and drop it off." And then she says, Alexis is like, no, you know, "I'll get it. I'll come by, you know, I'm practically living there anyway." And that's when we hear that she's been sleeping on the couch for a month.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So I guess we can move on. We've kind of heard some of this, but I think it's important to just, like, reiterate some of these things because we're adding a little bit of a new fact. We actually don't know
Yeah, we don't.
The next morning is Black Friday. And we already said in the last episode, she's in Monate. It's the biggest day of the year. She should have been posting nonstop. There were no posts about her hair products whatsoever. So in my mind, I have always said that I don't think she was alive at this time. Like something inside me tells me I don't think she was possibly not alive on Friday at some point, but then that really leans towards your theory and not mine.
I know it's hard. I go back and forth too.
It is hard because we're trying to stay on that two-sided where it's like, I'm gung-ho that it was somebody else and you're more leaning that way. But we do go back and forth because how do we know who was texting from her phone? There wasn't really that much going on. If she went out till 3 a.m., you know, she gets back and takes 15 minutes to get back home, supposedly from Tanya's. It's middle of the night. It's not going to take that long. She walks into her apartment. Maybe she's in by like 3:10. Is Tom there?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. Did he ask where she had been, or he had been out spying on her, or he had her phone tracked and knew she had been at someone's house or at a bar? We just don't know any of that.
We don't. And I'm not 100% convinced that that was her on Friday, because she's making it a point at least twice that I've seen, maybe three times. I didn't know it was Friday.
Yeah, she knew. And I know we said that. Yeah, I know we said that last week, but it's the day after Thanksgiving is always Friday, and being in Monate, you know, it's the biggest sell day of the year. It does not make sense that she would not know it was Friday. And I can't see why she would be saying that. I don't know if say it was her and she did say I didn't know it was Friday. Was she just making an excuse for why she didn't post or why she wasn't doing her business? I don't know.
I thought of that, and I thought about it two ways. I was like, does she know she's slacking? Because we have had the theory that maybe her business wasn't going as well, because you got to also remember money representatives were doing really well in the beginning of COVID, but this was rounding up. Like it was rounding up at this point. And when you're trying to keep that momentum, it does get really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's had all this luck pretty much for months. And now we can assume that maybe she did want an excuse. Like, you know what? I'm going to just say like, oh, darn it. I forgot that it was Friday. So that if anyone were like, why weren't you posting? Like, why weren't you doing your job? Like, what's going on? Oh, I totally forgot. But we know that everybody gets you and I were in Monate, right? Yeah. You get an email, you get all these like brochure thing, you know, like digital little like posters, like, oh, post this and Black Friday, and you get sent things.
Well, and plus all the, think of the hundreds or thousands of Monate girls that she follows, they're all posting all day long about the sales. So, you know, if she was on Instagram, well, we know she was because she was messaging, you know, someone, that she was on Instagram. She saw people posting about the sales. I guarantee it. I've never thought about that before. But then she still, after that, said, oh, I didn't know it was Friday. Really strange.
Well, here's a clue. So November 27th, Friday, like we were just talking about, we've been discussing the group text. Everybody's in the group text. And there is a group text called the Girl Gang. And it has seven of the girls, right? I think it has seven of the girls.
Yeah, I think it was seven too.
And so we've got Tanya, Chelsea, Desiree, Cassie, and then we've got obviously Alexis. But I wanted to note that on Friday, November 27th at 12:38 p.m., Tanya messages the group and says, how is everyone? And Alexis is the first one to respond, and she goes, slightly hungover, ha, ha, ha. So my point in pointing this out is that that afternoon, she was texting. So there wasn't another group text until Saturday. So from 12:38 p.m. until Saturday, there was no communication in the group chat that we can see.
Right.
But we have somewhat of a timeline because we know that she was in another group chat. She's in another group chat where her last chat back and forth with everyone was, when was it, around 6:30, I guess?
Yeah. 6:30, somewhere around then.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. So just to recap real fast, we have Friday morning. Friday morning, you know, she talks about bringing the chairs over and blah, blah, blah. Alexis says no. She says she'd been sleeping on the couch. 11:27 a.m., that was the last text between Tanya and Alexis until they went into the group chat. So then she goes into the girl group chat. We just read it to you. And then we move on to Friday evening. 5:40 p.m., Alexis texts Tanya, are y'all doing anything exciting tonight or just staying in? Tanya replies, I'm staying in tonight. My mom's here. Remember this from last time? Okay. So we know that there's nothing going on with Alexis after her last little smiley face. Do you want to read the Instagram message?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull it up really fast. I did want to say while I'm looking for that, it's been said, but we have never seen a screenshot that she was in her Monate group chat or group message on Facebook, something like that, talking to her girls that day.
Right.
About the flash sale. So,
but no one's shown it.
Yes, we've never seen it, but the girl said that she was in that group chat talking Friday. So then, that's another red flag about that she knew it was Friday.
Right. It's a little bit strange. And while you're doing that, I just wanted to do something because it's further back in the timeline real fast.
Okay.
I wanted to mention something very peculiar, and we can give our opinions on this. There were some interesting posts going on Tom's social and also on Alexis's social. So on November 10th, which is just a couple days after the Marfa trip, she posts a picture of herself. And now here's what's really weird. Alexis is very positive. She's the kind of person who's always talking about her career, about health. And this was a really odd caption for such a beautiful photo of her. So the caption reads, "When people are rude to you, they reveal who they are, not who you are. Don't take it personally."
That was on Facebook?
That was on Instagram. And remember, this was right after her trip for Marfa, which means this is after that exchange between her and Tom on the Instagram DMs. We don't know what kind of conversation they had on text.
Yeah. Interesting.
Very interesting. And then I just want to point out one more thing before you go to the DM, because that one's after.
No, you're fine.
November 23rd, we see a very similar sentiment from Tom on his Facebook page, November 23rd. And here's what's crazy. This has been edited 3 times, and I have all the edits. So, you know, when you post something on Facebook, you can edit it and it will show the history.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had been editing it. Edited.
He did.
Huh.
So first of all, he doesn't know how to spell lose and loose. He uses loose for loose.
No. Okay.
Yeah. No. He's one of those.
Yikes.
So he says, when a person loses, but he means loses.
Yeah.
Sorry. When a person loses all they consider everything in their life, ! And they are at their own personal rock bottom, ! It's then when you see who they truly are and choose to be, ! Life hits hard, ! Hit harder, ! This message is for a friend. Now, ! Get up, ! Rub some dirt in it, ! I know who you are, ! Now show me, !
For a friend? Do you think it was for himself or for Alexis? Because I don't think it was for a friend.
I don't know. Want to read the edits?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first edit says, and I'm trying to see like what's different, like spot the difference.
Did he
This one
fix
says,
loose?
no, he never fixes that. I'm trying to see what he messaged here. Let's see. I mean, what he changed. Personal rock bottom. It's then that you see who they truly are and choose to be. Life hits harder. Okay. The second one says, when a person loses all they consider everything in their life, same sentence as before. And okay. And the first one said, and is at their own personal rock bottom. The second one says, and are at their own personal rock bottom. And then everything else is the same. It's then when you see who they truly are and choose to be. Life hits hard, hit harder. This message is for a friend. Now get up, rub some dirt in it. I know who you are. Now show me. Okay. He then, that's at November 23rd at 8:49 p.m. He edits it again.
The
The
same night?
next, no. The
Weird.
next day at 5:43 a.m.
Okay.
And he says this. When a person loses all they consider everything in their life, which is the same thing, and they are at their own rock bottom. So he changed it to they. He said and are in the second one, and he said and is on the first one, and they are at their own personal rock bottom. It's then when you see who they truly are and choose to be. The same thing, but see how he like changes the not the pronoun, but like the way that he's saying it.
Yeah, like who it is.
For example, here's all three of them. And is at their own personal rock bottom, and are at their personal rock bottom, and they are at their own personal rock bottom.
That's really odd.
Why would he do that?
I don't
Like, why would he
know.
do that?
I have no idea.
Like, why is he so concerned about the way this stupid post is coming off?
Well, it's because he wants somebody to read it.
I know, but it's just weird. When a person loses all they consider everything in their life and is at their own personal rock bottom. When a person loses all they consider everything in their life and are at their own personal rock bottom. When a person loses all they consider everything in their life and they are at their own personal rock bottom.
It's
Like,
all the same, wouldn't you say?
I think the last one is significant.
Okay, why?
Because of the word they. I think he's trying to differentiate the fact that it's not him that he's talking about being at the rock bottom.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't think about that.
And this is only 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we have to keep in that into account because that's really close.
Yeah.
So doesn't this kind of jive with the fact that we'll get into it in a second. Now I'm kind of excited to move a little. We'll go for a little while longer, but now I'm kind of excited to move forward because we know that friends have said that he said that Alexis was dealing with some demons.
Right.
But just so everybody knows, the group message from Saturday, they had planned as a group. So you want to talk about this?
About the movies?
Yeah, go ahead and tell them what they plan to do.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be raining, wasn't it? On the
Yes.
Saturday. So the
Yep.
girls were going to get together and they had all planned to meet up at Tanya's and watch movies. So that was kind of the last text they did was they were talking about or making plans for watching movies.
Yeah, so Saturday they were supposed to all get together at some point. I think it was closer to the evening. It wasn't like a morning thing because they were already texting on Saturday, but it was like sometime in the afternoon they were going to do movies, hang out. It was going to be raining. Do you want to mention anything between that? Because I was going to go, we were going to move on into Saturday.
Did you want me to read that text
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
from
that's really
Friday
important.
night?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so this is an Instagram message between Sebastian and Alexis. And I'm trying to think of how much we've said about them. Okay, everyone knows that they were hanging out the night before, and it was kind of maybe, possibly, like, her side piece, would you say?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the screen.
But wait, just what we, okay, why don't ahead. You re? Why don't you just recap real fast that, like, what people have said that they've met, you know, like, recap a little bit where they just met or where they were and, like, what that little story is.
Okay, I'm trying to think of it all, but allegedly her friend said that they met, was it a week prior or 2 weeks prior?
A week prior.
Okay, a week prior she met Sebastian and that they did not have each other's phone numbers, that there was nothing going on. It was completely platonic. And trying to think of what else. Can you think of anything else?
I was just going to say that they say that they never met before this week in Tulum, like the last week before Thanksgiving, they met in Tulum. But girl, you're friends with his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're really good friends with his ex-girlfriend, like really good friends. So you mean to tell me she's never mentioned Sebastian? His name is not a common, like Seb. You think no one's ever mentioned that before?
Yeah. And you know what? He's close enough friends with Tanya to come to her house for Thanksgiving. So that makes me think that he's been around before or is around.
I 100% feel like he's been around. I don't know why that's such a big deal. I think it's to, like, honor her memory and not make it look like she was, you know, doing anything on the side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really think her friends. Yeah, I do think her friends are trying to protect her and her image. And, you know, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. And it's not, I don't think it's, I mean, of course it's not right, but it's better to speak the truth, especially in this situation, so that people can get things figured out. But I do think that this was an ongoing thing, and we can get more into that later, but I was going to...
I think it's an ongoing thing, especially because you don't just plan to go to Tulum and accidentally run into your friend's ex-boyfriend that also knows one of your good friends. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, meaning meaning that we think we've discussed this, of course, amongst ourselves, and we think it was a plan like, oh, okay, hey, you go to Tulum with your friends and I'll go to Tulum with my friends and then we'll meet up, kind of that sort of thing, to make it look like, oh, you're here, you know, for Alexis and Sebastian mm-hmm. to do that as a plan to have alone time. That's what I think.
Yes.
You too, right?
I do too. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? And then the fact that they hung out after, or they had Thanksgiving together at Tanya's house, that doesn't seem like something you do and then go hang out by yourselves after dinner. Would you do that with somebody you just met a few days before?
No.
Yeah.
No. And that's my point. It's like, I think there was an attraction, and I will tell you why I think that. He is a DJ. He's got connections. She's an influencer. She wants more connections. That opens her up to another world. And he's good looking. He's younger. Mm-hmm. He hangs out with very established real estate mogul gurus, whatever you want to call them. Lots of money, lots of trips all over the world. Yeah. I just think she was smitten by that. And it was something different. And he's, you know, he's muscular. He's tall, dark, and he's handsome and dark. And I just, because he wasn't that tall. He's like her height. I mean, that's not that. He's like 5'9". And I think she was intrigued by it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because supposedly her and Tom were going through separation. So it's not uncommon for you to kind of like not put your eggs in one basket.
Right. And I think another plus was that he was already good friends with all of her best friends there. So it just kind of, you know, it's not like she had to introduce them to a new guy. They could just all kind of hang out. She already knew her friends liked him and were around him. I think she was having maybe some second thoughts about that she rushed into things with Tom, and I do think she was going through a lot emotionally.
I think so too. I really do. And, you know, why don't you read the text? Because that was Friday.
Yes. This was Friday, and this is the last screenshot that we know of. So the last text that we've seen screenshots, of course she could have talked to whoever after this, but this is up until this, or this is the latest one we have, which was at 6:30?
6:34 p.m.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so it starts off, and she says, or no, he says, "Jelly, I'm not watching movies, though," because he was at work. We do know that he was at work DJing that night. And then Alexa said, "LOL, I've actually had the house to myself pretty much all day. I didn't even think about the fact that it's Friday." So there's the Friday thing again. "Though I guess most people would probably go out tonight. Haha, should be fun." Okay. And then he said, "I think it's going to be very slow, actually. Everyone is fat and lazy after Thanksgiving. LOL. Alexa said, "Valid point. Either way doesn't really affect you." And he said, "Hee-hee, exactly. Thankfully, bag is secured." So she's just saying that you're going to get paid no matter what. So that's why bag is secured means he's going to get paid his money. Okay. And she did a laughy face at that. And then at 10:06, he texted her and, or excuse me, messaged her and said, "Finally off." And then did like the praise hands. And
yeah,
that's, I don't think it was ever read, right? Because it usually shows if, yeah, okay. So yeah, she never saw that "finally off" one at 10:06 p.m.
And of course, she never wrote back because I mean, apparently, if we think about it, most likely either her murder was occurring at that time, or she had already been killed, or, but she, there was no, that was it that we know of.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. It kind of gave me a sick feeling to my stomach. It's so weird.
It does. It's just like, everything was so normal. This is like a normal conversation you would have with a friend. And
yeah,
but I do want to point out, she says, "I've actually had the house to myself pretty much all day."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I picked up on that too. So obviously Tom was there at some point.
Right. So I find that to be interesting because, you know, her friends were saying that he was coming in and out, and like sometimes they would hear her on the phone saying, "Well, he's coming to pick up some of his stuff, but he's leaving soon. He's in and out. He's not staying there right now." But then other friends were like, "No, well, they were still staying in the same apartment, even though he was kind of moving out and they were separating."
Yeah. And she was sleeping on the couch. I also wanted to say, kind of a theory people have said is that when she was messaging Sebastian on the messages I just read, that possibly Tom picked up her phone and saw that she was texting another guy. And, you know, that's when shit hit the fan.
But they weren't really texting anything weird. So,
No, not at all.
I don't know if that would have made shit hit the fan. You know what I mean? Because they didn't text. They only DM'd. They didn't have each other's phone numbers.
Or, yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. But if insecure, crazy maniac, just seeing that she was messaging a guy could have set him off.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention, and then we will wrap it up in the next like 5 minutes, but I wanted to show you, or like tell you guys, we do have a picture of one of the entries from Alexis's journal. So I just kind of wanted to read it just because this actually paints a picture of how organized she was and also how thoughtful she was about like her future and what she was excited about. And I just find it interesting because she does mention Tom in this journal entry. So this was all the way back July 21st, 2020, but that's not that far. I mean, it is, it's summer. Now we're rounding up, you know, the year, but nevertheless, she said, and this makes sense because I'm about to tell you something else. She says, my dogs are about to bark, organize the bathroom, VIPs and flash sale to post. So I just want to stop there because this isn't even Black Friday. This is just a normal day during the summer. And she's writing about a flash sale that she's going to post about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you see where I'm going with that? She's writing it down in a journal. She knows, and this wasn't like it's like 2 years before this. This was in July.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a to-do list. A to-do list to make her Monate post, right?
Exactly. It's like she's putting it on paper. VIPs, flash sales, post it. You know, like she's out there planning her day, and this isn't even Black Friday. So what I can think about that is like, how do you not know it's Black Friday when usually when it's not even Black Friday, you're posting about a flash sale?
Yeah, I'll never understand.
And you're writing it in a journal.
Right.
And then her affirmation for that day was, you are capable of completing the hard 75 in anything you put your mind to. And you can tell them what the hard 75 is again.
Oh, yeah. It's just like a really mentally challenging program that you do. For it's like fitness and what else, mind strength type things. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, it's like she didn't want to drink for 75 days, but that didn't last. She didn't want to, you know, she wanted to read a book every week or something like that.
Right. Yeah, like challenges your willpower, basically.
And then she goes on to say, I'm grateful for a supportive husband, healthy friends, working for myself, and my favorite apartment.
Yeah, does that mean because she's living in her favorite apartment she's ever had?
I guess.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
And then she just said, she says, I woke up early for the hard 75 and excited for the journey. How I'm going to make space for gratitude today is I'm going to stop and reflect on what I've achieved and meditate. So she was a very thoughtful, organized, planning like type of person that would not forget it's Black Friday, in my opinion.
Yeah, me either. There's just
that
no
was just
way.
Evidence that I don't think she forgot.
No. No. I mean, she didn't forget. I think possibly she was making an excuse for it, or she wasn't around anymore. Don't you think?
Can you just touch on the money thing and the possible way that she could have been feeling that we've talked about as far as like her stress and maybe some of the things that could have been happening with that?
Yeah, sure. With any network marketing business, it's a roller coaster. It's up, down, up, down. You're doing really good, you're getting customers, people want to sign up under you, and the next thing people are quitting and nobody wants to work their business and your customers want to cancel, and it's never consistent at all. So she could have built her way up, and she did. She got up to the second to the last rank. But again, mm-hmm. the turnover rate is just so high that you could be the highest rank 1 month and get knocked back down close to the bottom because just hardly anyone sticks to it. And it's really frustrating. So I've said before to Kimber that I think she could have really been feeling that, you know, especially with the pandemic and whatnot. I think things were really slow around that time, and I'm sure she wasn't making the rank that she once had. So it can feel really defeating.
Yeah, it can, especially when you're so close to success all the time. And it like, everybody doesn't know this, but I know, and you know, you have to start over every month. It's like, yeah. It's not like you hit this level and then you're there and you automatically, no, you have to keep getting people to sign up. You have to keep selling. By the way, we have a question that just came in, and I definitely want to play this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
What was the actual like motive behind her getting killed? Was there like a massive breakdown in the relationship?
That's a good question, because we've thought about motive.
Yeah. So actually the motive is unknown, but we could kind of give our theories, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead. This is a good time to give like some of our theories.
Yeah, so I think the main theory and what I would say what 95% of people think is that the husband did it. There was, talk of an affair and just really unhealthiness, jealousy, age difference. There was a lot of factors that people think that the husband definitely did it. Just because statistically too, that's usually what happens. But Kimber, go ahead with the other part.
Well, my theory is that because she was so public on the internet, I think someone had been watching her for some time. And I think that they realized that her and Tom were getting further apart. And I think that either they scooped her up that night because she did get in an argument with him, because we didn't go into that. We should probably end it with like going a little bit into that, but of
Okay.
like what happened that night. But I have just this strong feeling, and this is just my, opinion. It doesn't mean anything. It's just I have a strong feeling that somebody was onto her, and she's very beautiful. I mean, she just has such charisma, and she just got this air about her that you can tell from her photos. And when she walked into a room, there was definitely something that shifted to the positive. And I just think there was got to be someone who was a drifter, or he knew he was coming through, because she lived in a very, I would say, like, it's a populated place. It's not like the middle of nowhere. And I just think that in this day and age, you could literally search a hashtag for the town you're going in. You see a beautiful woman, maybe you're gonna be there that week, maybe you're gonna be there for the weekend, and then you just slide on through. The reason I say that is because the way that she was disposed, because a man that is jealous and is so infatuated with you, in my opinion, does not expose your body naked to everyone in the world.
Yeah, that's so true. And also, it could have been a stranger. Allegedly, her and Tom got in a fight and she ran out the apartment. And we don't know if she asked somebody for a ride or somebody saw her on the side of the road and picked her up really fast. It could be a total stranger, and a total stranger would probably throw someone off on the side of the road like garbage.
Yeah, that's my theory, because we know this. I mean, you and I, this is our job, and we're always doing true crime and investigating. And the way that I also think of it is that men who do this, who know their victim, they usually leave you in the house. They leave you. They leave you behind. They cover you up. They cover your face. They don't want to look at you. Why would you strip her? But my dad, who's a former felon, he says no. He would do it that way because he would want to get rid of the body fast. He would want to disassociate with it. So he would want people to think that it was a stranger. But Tom doesn't know how to spell loose and lose.
Yeah, I don't
So do
know
you really think?
how he'd
Do
get a
you really
body out of
think?
a house.
So I know we're going to end right now, but let's just end with a little bit of the conversation that they had on Saturday in the group text, and then a little bit into them not hearing from her. Like, that's kind of where I want to end it, and sort of like what Tanya planned to do to try to help out in this situation.
Okay, cool.
So we left off with the group chat, and Saturday, November 28th, 1:52 p.m. So now we're into Saturday. Okay. Desiree says, "Has anyone heard from Alexis?" Tanya responds with, "Time sensitive, so please respond with an answer." Cassie says, "I haven't talked to her since Thanksgiving." Someone else who I can't see, it looks like it's Chelsea, on the phone with the non, and I think that's emergency police. I think that's what she's saying. Now, let's just be clear here. We didn't tell you that at this moment in time, Desiree and Tanya are together, and they are kind of like banding together to try to figure out what happened to Alexis. Because do you want to go into like why and what happened from the morning?
Just that she hadn't answered their phone calls and hadn't been on social media. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, for the 12 hours and all that stuff.
She hadn't been on for 12 hours, which was totally unlike her. Also, really fast, I did want to say thank you so much for the question. That was a good question.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, I couldn't pronounce the name, but I wanted to say you have a beautiful voice and a beautiful accent.
Yes, the accent. I loved it, too. That was so awesome.
So thank sexy.
Yeah.
Like, come on anytime and leave
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, ask us more.
That was amazing. We're so cheesy. Yes. Thank you so much for your question. If anyone else has any questions about the case or just anything else, you can just go ahead and leave one. But go on.
Okay. Yeah, she had not been on her, I think it said she was last on her phone or active online at 12 a.m., right? Saturday morning. And then this was 12 hours past when they kind of started thinking something was up, which is crazy to me because if my friends didn't hear from me for like a week, they probably would know I was fine. So for somebody to just not be on their phone, I mean, maybe you. I guess you would worry about
no
me,
if you're but... not if you don't respond in an hour, I'm like, did you die?
Okay, that's true. I'm just thinking about my friends that, you know, I don't hang out with all the time and whatnot, but and just because I'm not good about getting back to people, but they say she was always on her phone and always the first to respond. So yeah, I think that was all I had about that.
Well, the night before. And this is just, you know, the Friday night. So the Friday that she doesn't know it's Friday, she had been really trying to hang out with people. She really wanted to go out. She really wanted a party. And if you haven't heard the other episodes, she was someone who partied a lot. I mean, there's no shame in it. It is what it is. We're just going to call it like it is. We're very honest. We're looking at the facts. We're not judging anyone. She liked herself some alcohol. Mm-hmm. So... allegedly, and this is where we're going to end it, but allegedly, Tom, not allegedly, we know that he did this. Tom actually reaches out on Facebook to a friend. This was Chelsea's boyfriend, John.
Yeah.
They met as a group on Halloween, the same Halloween party that we mentioned briefly, that Tom got a little perturbed, that it was allegedly a guy talking to Alexis and he wanted to beat him up and he got kicked out of the bar or something like that. So he briefly met Chelsea's boyfriend, John. So I don't know why this was the person, you can answer this question too. I don't know why this was the person that Tom ends up messaging this night when he can't find Alexis allegedly. What, I mean, did you have any thoughts about that?
I think maybe he didn't want to be disrespectful, especially given his age. You know, people, the older generation, they think it's disrespectful to talk to a female. So right. I think that he didn't want to reach out to her friends. He thought that was rude. So he wanted to talk to another male. Or that night of the Halloween, maybe those two had a nice conversation. Or, you know, after Tom got mad about the guy looking at her, whatnot, maybe they had a talk and, you know, they just kind of clicked. Or it was the only other boyfriend that Tom knew, maybe, of all the people. So yeah, it could have been a number of things, I guess. What do you think?
That's the same thing. We've talked about that before. I think because they were hanging out and they were probably talking boy talk and, you know, all these girls are crazy and
yeah,
you know, because when we get into the conversation, we see that John kind of has that perspective, like, these bitches be crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think they were having like a bonding moment where he felt comfortable. And because he knew that John's girlfriend knows everyone, I mean, she's in the group chat, she's friends with everybody in the group. I think he was like, this is a good shoe-in, you know, like, this is a good way to like get into letting her friends know. So that night, no one thought anything. Like Friday night, it went by. Tanya was with her parents. Tanya was with her mom because her mom was going back to Mexico. You know, Seb was working. He got off at 10 p.m. Her other friends said they were doing things. Nobody could hang out. So nobody really thought of anything. But that night at 9:30, John gets a message on Facebook from Tom.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, bro, can you call me? And so John doesn't see this message, and he actually sees it at around 11 p.m. and he calls Tom, because it seemed like what is this? Like, why would he be doing that? And Tom allegedly, according to, we don't have any proof of this, but according to Chelsea, Tom said to John, quote, "Me and Alexis got in a fight tonight. She was upset. She jumped the fence. I don't really know where she went." Let's be clear. The fence is not a fence. It's a railing over their patio that's about 3 feet tall, 4 feet. No, not 4 feet, like 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
So John says to Tom, "She's probably okay. You know how girls are." And he didn't read into it. It wasn't until the next morning, when John mentions this to Chelsea, that they go into panic mode. Because, you know, Chelsea asked the group, has anybody heard from her? Nobody's heard from her. Supposedly she ran out that night and she's been gone. And apparently they had a 45-minute conversation. So John and Tom talked, and he said things like, she was intoxicated when she was there at the apartment and she wanted to leave. And I didn't want her to leave. I didn't want her to drive, you know, intoxicated. And she got upset and she left.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she leave out the front door? I don't know.
Why wouldn't she call her friends to come get her?
Right.
So, yeah. Lots more to talk about.
Yeah. We'll end it here for part four in our multi-part series. But don't forget to tune in next week. You can catch us right here live on the Stereo app. We're going to actually come back on Saturday to follow this one up, I think. And then if you want to catch the replay, like I said in the beginning, you can catch it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much any other podcasting platform if you want to hear the replay edited and everything put together. But thank you guys so very much for being here tonight. And also thank you for the question that we received. We really enjoy meeting with all of you every week, and we really look forward to it.
Yes, thank you so much. Everybody have a good night.
Have a good night, guys. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.